Welcome to the podcast of Faith Presbyterian Church here in Clinton, Louisiana. I'm glad you found us. My name is Tony Piles, and I'm the pastor here. I pray this recording brings you encouragement and growth in Christ, and we would love for you to join us in person anytime you are in town. Check our website, faithchurchclinton.org, for our current schedule of worship and Bible studies. And may God bring you blessing through what you're about to hear. Thank you. You would remain standing, please. Our sermon text this morning is Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 27. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, "Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce." But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Please be seated. Heavenly Father, we find ourselves once again in the Gospel of Matthew coming to a difficult text. And so we beg your help. We pray that you would help us to see clearly what Jesus says, to bear in mind what he says elsewhere, but not in a way that blunts the force of his words. Give us tender consciences as we ponder his word. Would you open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things in your law? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is the kingdom of heaven going to be a place full of pirates with eye patches and hooks, right? Populated by people who've plucked out one eye and cut off one hand. Is that the force of what Jesus says in this passage? We are so offended by Jesus' rhetoric in this paragraph that we prematurely dismiss the extreme picture that he draws. And we fail to consider how to rightly apply a duty that he lays on us in this text. I think this is due in no small measure to the way that we wink at sin. We do not consider the seriousness of sin. We do not consider the seriousness of our own sin. We are apt to consider the seriousness of others' sins. But we do not search our own hearts in the same way that we consider the sins of others. So what would Jesus have us hear from these difficult words? The first thing that Jesus makes clear to us, and this is in verses 27 and 28, is that sinful desire is itself sin. Sinful desires are truly sinful, and we are accountable for them. This is already clear from what Jesus has said in the previous paragraph, when we considered his words on "you shall not murder" and on anger in our hearts. It's also already clear from the law of Moses, as the Lord commanded through Moses in the 10th commandment, you shall not covet. You shall not wrongfully desire your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's house, your neighbor's donkey, your neighbor's car, your neighbor's children, your neighbor's whatever, anything that belongs to your neighbor. To look at that and say, wow, that's cool, is one thing. To have a sinful desire in our heart to want what our neighbor has, perhaps at our neighbor's expense. That is sin, is old news. Jesus lays it bare for us again here with regard to lust and adultery. The sinful desires are indeed sin. This is a favorite lie of our culture. Not in the last 50 years, but for hundreds of years and counting. The idea that what goes on in here in our hearts, or what goes on in our heads up here, as long as it doesn't come out, we're okay. And part of this comes from the difficulty of enforcing the law. If we were to try and take this up into the penal code, can you imagine what prosecution would look like? Can you imagine the added burden to police work, chasing people down for hidden desires that are tucked away in their hearts or in their heads? But just as we saw last week, that the root of murder is anger. So that anger that is kindled, that burns in our heart and in our mind against another, is as murder in God's sight, is a sin for which we are accountable. So it is with lust and its relationship to adultery. When we see these paired, when we consider the broader context, we must realize that Jesus doesn't want us to see this narrowly. But this applies on a much grander scale. We cannot listen to Jesus' words in this paragraph and say, I understand that some people struggle with that, but I don't. And so Jesus is not talking to me here. Any sinful desire of our heart, any inclination toward evil, any desire for something at our neighbor's expense, any finding our identity, our importance, our worth, our happiness in something other than God. Going all the way back to the garden where Satan was able to convince Eve that she needed something God was withholding from her in order to be happy. Sinful desire is truly and properly sinful before it ever comes to an end result in an outward action. God help us. God help us. But we must consider the weight that has always been there in the law, that Jesus makes inescapably clear to us in this paragraph. Sinful desire is truly and properly sin, and we must reckon with it on those terms. We must have our hearts shaped by the gospel and not merely our outward conduct. The next thing we see in this passage from verses 29 and 30 is that we have a duty to fight sin. We are charged with resisting it at great cost to ourselves. So Jesus offers us this illustration in these verses. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Would it not be better to be a pirate in the kingdom of heaven than a whole person suffering the fires of hell? Jesus' rhetoric does not admit of the easy dismissal we usually give it. Jesus, that's preposterous. You really want people walking around with one hand, and then maybe their left hand causes them to sin, and now they're going to walk around with no hands, and both eyes plucked out, and maybe missing some feet? Where will this end? Jesus knows as well as you or I that the problem is not the hand. And the problem is not the eye. But because we know that, we take what Jesus says and we say, well, he doesn't mean it. There's nothing here for us but the shock value. But what have you been willing to suffer the cost of in your fight against sin? The book of Hebrews says quite boldly, you have not yet resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. With the expectation that perhaps you should. Cutting your hand off is not going to help. But have you deleted that app? Have you avoided those movies? Have you put porn blockers on your computer? Do you speak to others of your sin? Have you done things within your power to fight sin, to resist its temptation, to flee from it when it raises its head, and to strengthen yourself against it when it does not seem to be assaulting you? There is much within our power for fighting sin. And we should consider those things rather than dismissing what Jesus says here. Consider how you spend your time. When you have free time at your disposal, consider what things you feed your imagination, which then shapes your desires. Don Carson, commenting on this passage, put it very well. He said, imagination is a God-given gift, but if it is fed dirt by the eye, it will be dirty. All sin, not least sexual sin, begins with the imagination. Therefore, what feeds the imagination is of maximum importance in the pursuit of kingdom righteousness. Beloved, are you careful with what you feast your eyes upon, with what captures your thoughts, with what you are hearing when you are not on your guard? Are you watchful over your own soul and the souls of your family? We may not hear Jesus' words and say, the bar is too high, this is ridiculous, he doesn't really want us to cut off our hands and pluck out our eyes, and therefore there's nothing here for us to do. And as I've said already, Jesus knows as well as we do that the problem is in the heart. If it really were your hand that was causing you to sin, it is within your power to cut it off. But that is not the root of the problem. If it really was your eye that was causing you to sin, though it would pain you, you could pluck it out. But that will not help. If the problem is that we have a heart of stone, none but God can cut that out and give us a heart of flesh. We need heart surgery. We need conversion. We need to be brought from death to life. You must be born again. If you are here and you're hearing Jesus' words and you have not trusted in him, if he has not quickened your soul and made you alive, then no amount of resolve or discipline or sacrifice is going to avail you. Dead men do not become holy. God must cut out your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. No unconverted person will make any lasting progress against sin and death and hell. So flee to Christ. Flee to Christ. He knows the depth of your need. He knows the extent of the law's command. He can and will give you a new heart. And he will pour out his Holy Spirit upon you, that you might be strengthened in the fight against sin. It is still a fight. You must still give attention to the means God has provided for your strengthening, for your growth in holiness. But you do not fight that fight alone. So hear the words of this passage, that sinful desire is itself sin. God help us. That we have a duty to fight sin, which we cannot make progress in by ourselves. We need God's help. But here as well, a larger observation we could draw from verses 31 and 32, that forbearance is not license. Verses 31 and 32 speak of divorce. Jesus develops his thoughts on divorce at length later in chapter 19. But here he makes crystal clear that though the law allowed for a certificate of divorce to be granted, divorce always involves sin. It is intimately connected to adultery, either as the cause or as the result. We cannot take God's provision for the economic well-being of divorced women in the Old Testament as a license for treating his teaching on marriage with contempt. We may consider that more broadly, that we do not have permission to wink at sin. God is abundant in mercy. There is grace and forgiveness. There is help in time of need. None of the things Jesus discusses in this passage and the surrounding verses are sins that cannot be forgiven. Do not hear that. But the provision of forgiveness, the provisions that counter and mitigate our hardness of heart, are never an invitation to sin that grace may abound. Beloved, sinful desires are themselves sin. And so we need God to shape the desires of our hearts, that we might love Christ more, that we might see more of his beauty, that we might desire him more, that the things of earth might grow strangely dim, as we sometimes sing. We must remember that we have a duty to fight sin. We cannot wink at it. We cannot ignore it. We cannot say it's okay, it's forgiven. We must employ the means God has provided, knowing that we do not fight alone, knowing that there is forgiveness, knowing that we will fail, but God's mercy is more. But that does not invite us to rest on our laurels. We must remember that God's mercy is not an invitation to ignore the threat of the law, the consequences of sin, and the depth and extent of God's command. But as we consider all of these things, remember, remember, remember. If you belong to Christ, he has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He has given you a new heart. He has poured out his Holy Spirit by which you are sealed for the day of redemption, so that we might have confidence in the fight against sin, looking toward our Lord and Savior, because we know he has won the victory and has made us heirs with him of eternal life. Beloved, let us pray. Lord God, thank you for this needful reminder. We thank you that you do not allow us to slumber in the face of sin and the threat it poses to our souls. Lord, wake us up. Strengthen our hands to fight against sin. Encourage us as we make use of the means you have provided, as we participate in words, sacraments, and prayer, as we read the scriptures, as we take the Lord's Supper, as we encourage one another. Lord, may we flee to the cross. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to the podcast of Faith Presbyterian Church here in Clinton, Louisiana. Check our website, faithchurchclinton.org, for more teaching and for our current schedule of events if you'd like to drop in. We pray this recording has been a blessing to you. Go in peace.